Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, there you go. 11:03 back on the fan. BT and Sal. Boy, that was dirty last night. The dirtiness was unexpected. The disparity in free throws was not. Listen, there's a reason why I didn't think the Knicks were going to win last night. Certainly hoping that they did, but I did not think that they would. This doesn't jar my confidence moving forward in the series, but it is kind of weird. Like, Brunson played poorly, win. Brunson plays poorly, win. Brunson plays real well, lose. I don't like to say this because it's on a lot of levels, it's incredibly irresponsible. I get it. But looking at what happened last night with Joel Embiid, you know, first with the Mitchell Robinson, you know, Hartenstein kick to the groin.
Yeah.
And then obviously
the knee in the nuts.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And then just going right for his ankle and pulling him down. I don't know if Mitchell Robinson's ankle is going to be okay to play in game four, hopefully. I know we left the arena in a boot last night. This is going to be dependent upon if he is. If he can play, within the first 7 or 8 minutes of the game, I summon Jericho Sims into that game, and I absolutely smash Joel Embiid and put him down.
You know, I like your thinking. A couple of things. First of all, I thought Embiid was unhinged in that first quarter.
That's a great word for it.
Unhinged.
Yep.
Now, to his credit, and obviously with the benefit of the refs not tossing him out of the game, he should have been thrown out of the game multiple times over, but he settled down and put up a 50 spot on the Knicks. And you just, when they're on, like, the Knicks just don't have the talent to compete with the Sixers, I'm sorry, and I do think the Knicks are in trouble. But one of the things I was thinking about asking you today, before you even told me what you did earlier before we started the show, I was going to ask you, how do you think the 90s Knicks would have responded to what went down last night?
Yeah, yeah. But it's funny. Well, we know the answer, so right, it's a rhetorical question.
But we're also thinking the same thing. Like,
yeah. I think every older Knicks fan was thinking that. Like this.
Hey, I'm not, you know, this is not sending Rempe out there to go nuts on people on the ice. But, like, the 90s Knicks wouldn't have stood for that, and nor should the 2024 Knicks. Like, that was beyond just a dirty play where you get caught up in the moment.
Yep.
There were multiple incidents last night where somebody should have thrown an elbow in Embiid's face.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's chippiness and then there's just straight up dirty. And you knew, and that's a great word. I'm going to go back to that. He was unhinged. Now, he was able to recalibrate and he hung a 50 spot on him and he was great. I mean, and we know that Joel Embiid is great.
And dealing with his, you know, the illness that he has, the Bell's palsy.
The Bell's palsy, his knee. You know, last night a lot of things went down. DiVincenzo was, I was proud of him. He was chipping back. He was chirping, you know, and he's got his face a little bit there. Then he threw down that sick dunk late in the second quarter. I'm like, okay, I felt really good about the, even with all the uneasiness and chippiness in the first half. In the first quarter, more specifically, where I got very nervous is when Cameron Payne drove this first three. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Campaign and Oubre offensively last night were the difference that you didn't see in game one and game two.
Yeah, but at least Oubre was on the court in game one and game two. Like, to me, this is generally what defines, like, a desperate team. Certainly, you go back from playing a couple of games on the road to your own crib where there's greater familiarity. We've seen this forever in the NBA where role players, lesser players, generally flourish at home. Now, if this is going to be campaign the rest of the series, then I think it changes things a little bit here for the Knicks, because I think why the Knicks will win the series, and I still do, is because while Embiid is better, obviously, and, you know, Tyrese Maxey's a massive, even though he wasn't, you know, I mean, he was good, but he wasn't vintage last night. He still got his points, but he wasn't efficient, because I just think the Knicks have better depth, and they've got more good players than Philly. I think the coaching's very comparable. I think the toughness usually advantage Knicks. I think the IQ advantage Knicks. But I think he's got to pay for that. And I don't mean where, I'm saying you make a play for the ball, you disguise it enough.
Just hit him hard.
But you get half the ball and you get half Embiid. And if it's half of his face or half of his whatever, then that's, you know, I mean.
Well, something's got to be done because they're going to have to up the, you know, I don't want to say up the intensity physically, because I do think the Knicks could be a tough team. And I'm not saying they should get dirty, but an elbow here or there, you know.
Don't you think on some level they have to get dirty? Don't you think it's something you have to respond on some level?
Yes, I do. But that is that the 90s Knick fan in me? Is that the old school fan? I mean, you know, you don't want to start a fight. Although I will say, if you send Jericho Sims, and honestly, even Mitchell Robinson, like if Mitchell Robinson thinks he's being taken down like that, and he was, yep, by his feet, which is dirty play, then turn around and punch him beat in the face.
Oh, jeez. I mean, I'm not saying that, because now you're suspended for the rest of the series.
But so is Embiid, potentially, if you get into a fight with
not
him.
Not if you throw... No, yeah, if you
would have
thrown...
We've seen it before. Let's not make it like it doesn't happen. I mean, we saw this in the Knicks postseasons for years. Guys throwing fists and guys, you know, going after each other, headbutts, whatever you want. Now, I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying, like, if somebody took your legs out, how would you respond?
I don't know. I mean, I can't respond. Who knows?
What the hell are you doing?
I hear you, but... The sequence, just the way they were physically, it was physically planned out last night. Think about this. If Mitchell Robinson would have been so taken back by it, it was an egregious, dirty play, and he should have been booted and beat, and the refs were really off last night again. And he just would have thrown a punch while Embiid's on the floor.
Well, no, I'm not
Mitchell Robinson's thrown out of the game and misses multiple games in the series, and Embiid does not.
Or you just start a scrap with him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's not on purpose. To hurt anybody or to get anybody in trouble.
You're protecting yourself.
Well, yeah, it's normal reaction. That's what we used to see.
Yeah, but
that's
it's not
what
used
we saw
to
with
anymore.
DJ Brown.
It's not used to anymore.
Hey, but
it's just not.
But it's still sports. It's still competitive sports, right?
Yep.
So if that's what I'm saying, like your normal instinct takes over. If that happens to me, my normal instinct, hey, what the
no,
what
I
are you
know.
Doing?
I get me too. I hear
or
you.
Or you kick him or something like what you're like.
Well, that's different than throwing a punch.
Okay, well, whatever.
You get booted for a kick.
But point is, and if it happens to me, if you kick him and he gets up and he was in hinge at that particular point, maybe he throws a punch.
Yeah.
And now maybe he's out for the series. Advantage
Knicks.
You
try to bait him in a little bit here.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not trying to be cute here. They started it.
No, I know.
And you can't let that go.
No, no, I agree. Well, that's what I'm saying. Sims, I want to see Sims a couple of minutes here.
But what's worse, responding naturally, instinctually, or sending out a hitman to do the dirty work on
what's worse or what's more effective? Yeah. Now, if it's Mitchell Robinson or Hartenstein or DiVincenzo responding in a way that maybe would have made us happy in the moment, but maybe penalized the Knicks down the road, I think my position is better. Like, my argument is the way to go. Like, I'd rather have Sims, who is not even, he's lower than just an ancillary piece. He doesn't even play.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd rather have somebody like that insert themselves into the equation.
But I think that's worse. Yeah, it might be more
effective. What do you mean by worse, though? Like less acceptable, dirtier?
Worse, yeah, exactly.
So who cares?
A worse look, dirtier. Like,
do we care?
I would have just preferred to Mitch or somebody else act instinctually there. And made that unacceptable and made a bigger deal. It was almost like the Knicks just kind of let it go and were waiting for the officials to decide, oh, yeah, great, it's a flagrant. You know, like, okay, well, what does that do?
Yeah.
He did it four times or however many times he was doing it last night. Like, you're going to let him get away with it? Knees to the grind, kicking guys, trying to bring guys down. Like, at some point, somebody's got to do something.
Yeah.
Oakley, X-Man, Mason.
Oh, yeah.
Any of those, Kurt Thomas, Charlie Ward. I mean, you name it. Those guys, Derek Harper. I mean, those guys, Starks. Those guys would have, they never would have happened. And I'm not trying to always bring it back to the 90s, but in this particular case, when you see something like that, it's something's got to be done in the moment. I wouldn't be opposed to doing it your way, and I do think the Knicks need to do something about it.
Well, since they didn't do something last night, then the only thing to do is to do something next game.
But now you have...
Everybody's on high alert. First, that's why you got to strike first.
And I doubt Embiid is going to be unhinged the way that he was coming off a 50-point game and the fact that the Sixers are now back in the series. Also, of bigger importance here, Knicks got to win this game.
Yeah, no,
like
I don't.
Game four...
Well,
they
don't have to. They don't have to.
BT, they got smoked. I know we disagree with how well they played the first three, first couple of games. They should have been down in this series, if not 0-3, at the very least down 1-2 in this series. If it's tied up at 2, with the talent the Sixers have and with the way Embiid played in game 3.
See, I don't think they have great talent. They got Embiid. They got Maxey.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, but that's all. The two best players in the series by far. Even Brunson played well last night, but obviously it wasn't enough. If it's 2-2, and I think it's going to be, the Knicks are in trouble. And I felt like that after down 0-2, I feel like it even more now that the one win the Sixers do have was a rout over the Knicks.
And I feel like if the Knicks lose Sunday, and they could, then they're going to come back and win game 5. And if they lose game 5, and they could, this is the kind of team that until that fourth loss is hung on them, I have a lot of confidence in them. I think intelligence, depth, IQ... I think those things play over 2 weeks. I think the better team's going to win out, and I think the Knicks are still the better team.
The momentum will shift completely to Philadelphia if it's 2-2 back to Madison Square.
I understand that. I get it. I think my biggest issue, though, is that if that's Draymond last night.
Yeah, he's getting tossed.
He's kicked out. So, like, if you're going to officiate a, like, just, yeah, the refs, I think when they went to that monitor, they were looking for every excuse and every reason to keep him in the game rather than objectively looking at what happened. But that's what happened. 877-337-6666. BT and Sound on the Fan. Also, let's get back to these calls here. Draft stuff, if you missed anything first hour. Free Odyssey app. Rewind. Get up to speed. I love what the Giants did. Understand, but lukewarm a little bit on what the Jets did. Sal loves the Jets move. Does not like the Giants taking a receiver at 6. That is the encapsulation. Gayton, South Jersey. Gayton, what's going on, buddy?
Yo, guys. How we doing? All right?
What's up, Gayton?
Sal, great meeting you the other night. It was good to talk to you.
Yes, it was nice to meet you finally. You had some fun out there at Game 2 watching the Rangers take care of the Caps. That was fun.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to Knicks on Sunday and maybe heading down to Washington.
Look at you, man. God bless, Game. That must be nice.
Unbelievable.
Hey, I got lucky, you know. But hey, the reason I wanted to talk was about the draft. But first, DiVincenzo did have a chance there. If he was just gotten Embiid face a little more, we might have been, Embiid might have been out of the game.
He was going there. He was sticking his beak in there.
I thought he was going to do that. But as far as the draft, I mean, I'm a Jet fan, unfortunately, you know. And I mean, once you get Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I would think we all believe they're in win. We got to win now mode.
Yep.
I would think.
Yeah.
So now we've had eight draft picks now since A-Rod's been there. And none of them are guaranteed to help them win now. I mean, this guy, look, I love the kid from Penn State.
They're not playing.
That's my point.
Yeah, I agree.
Brad McDonald last year. I mean, Tippmann's the only one that could help.
Yeah.
So, I mean, once Odunze's gone yesterday, you would think you do whatever you can do to either, I'm not a Bowers fan, they might have taken it, or you got to move down if you can, any way you can, because now you take this guy, the only place he plays is left tackle. So, I mean, so only if one guy gets hurt, he can help you.
That's what I said.
But
I agree.
If you can move down and get a receiver because, hey, come on, 11 personnel is what, 60-something% of the, you know, every team plays it. You got to have 3 wide receivers.
Yeah.
So if you get the receiver who can be there with Williams or replace Williams because we know he's going to miss 3 to 5 games, and then you can get somebody like, you know, Zach Frazier or Cooper Beebe who can play multiple positions, now you're actually better on the offensive line because now if a guard gets hurt, you can fix that. If a center gets hurt, you can fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Right now,
they're pigeonholed. No, you're right. If Tyron Smith doesn't get hurt, he's not playing. Period.
Well, I mean, they could decide to move him.
Thanks, Gayton.
You know, that could be a thing. I'm not saying I would do that. I like the idea of having a dominant left tackle, but it's nice to have insurance for a guy who, in all likelihood, like if you had a bet, Tyron Smith is not playing the whole season. He just hasn't since, what, 2018, I think I heard somewhere yesterday. Like, it's been a long time, maybe even 16. I forget what the exact year was, but he's just never fully healthy anymore, which is fine if you have a replacement for him. And now that they do, you can't go into the season with patchwork offensive line and try and pick guys off the scrap heap to make it work. Not when you have a 40-year-old quarterback who's not as mobile as he once was. I love this pick for the Jets, not even just for now, and more importantly, the future where you solidify the left tackle spot.
I think we all think the Jets defense is going to be really good again. Obviously, the Bills taking a bit of a step back, although who knows, maybe they go for an Ayuk or a Deebo Samuel to replace Stephon Diggs, so I wouldn't close the door on the Bills being good again, but they've had a very strange offseason. Patriots, obviously, rebuilding. Dolphins, talented, but I don't think they're like a top 10. Well, I mean, they are actually pretty good, so I'll give them the respect there. The point is, we're going to be watching these Jets. Now, I'm sure they'll take a receiver. They're going to try to get in a round 2 or round 3 and take the receiver in round 3. But don't complain. Do not complain if we're watching these Jets, even with Rodgers, and, well, Garrett Wilson's double-teamed, Mike Williams is hurt, and the tight ends are good, but nothing special.
Well,
because now you're right back to an average offense.
Nah, they need a, they'll be better than that. And I think Rodgers is going to make other guys better. They need a second receiver, or a third receiver, I guess, aside from Williams. But I think they'll find somebody. To me, it didn't have to be a superstar. I certainly didn't want the tight end. We differ on what he's going to be. But even, like, I'm fine with Conklin. I think he could be a solid tight end. I'm not worried about, I don't think you need an explosive playmaker. Bowers, I don't even think was it. But I don't think the Jets need that to have an effective offense. They do, to me, need one more decent wide receiver to go along with Mike Williams.
Let's get Allie in Mayapack. BT and Sal. Allie, what's going on?
How are you doing? I'm a Giant fan. Sal, I can't disagree with you anymore. I hear everything that you're saying, but as a Giants fan, I think they made a great move. I don't think that it was an indictment of saying you're going to give Daniel Jones. I think Jones is gone. I think with them trying to trade up for Drake May, I think they said what they think of Jones, but I think they had their plan and they took the best available, and they have not had a guy like that since Odell. And I think that, you know, Daniel Jones is not a bum. I mean, he's going to make, he throws a nice deep ball, but I think after this year, he's gone, and you don't know what they're going to do with the rest of the draft. So I'm very happy. I'm thrilled.
There you go, Allie.
I also think you send a message to your team, too. I mean, you have, they have a nice defense in place now. They need that playmaker. And I think you have to be careful, too. If you're just going to try to be safe and trade back, and yes, you do need to build. You don't know if they're going to pick another lineman the rest of the draft. But you sent the message to your team, we got this playmaker, we're on the rise. I totally disagree with you. I think they needed this playmaker.
Yeah.
And now they have their
it's not 1974.
For five years.
And thanks for the call, though. It's not 1974. You know, you got to kind of move the ball a little bit. You got to have something that resembles a modern offense. Kind of helps. Well, Allie put you in your place right there is what she did.
Yeah. No.
That's what she did.
No, she yeah, right.
She did.
Yeah, I think a wide receiver, and correct me if I'm wrong, BT, because I know you know more football than I do, and maybe Allie could have asked her this as well. But I'm pretty sure, based on my extent of the game, I'm pretty sure that the only way the wide receiver is effective is if you have somebody who could actually throw him the football. And that you could use him on end around, sure, maybe hand it off to him a little bit. But I think you need somebody to throw him the football, which means if you don't have a quarterback, that kind of negates having a star receiver.
No, because the star receiver still makes everybody else better just by his mere presence, because you usually have to double team, roll that second defender his way.
Right.
What else can I help you with?
Right. But if the quarterback can't throw him the football, then what's the difference?
Well, I mean, listen.
And furthermore, if the offensive line can't protect the
offensive line is better than you think. You know how good John Runyon is? You know how good he is?
I know as good his father is.
But do you know how good he is?
No, I don't.
Well, maybe you should. Yeah, he's good. Well,
based on what are we going based off exactly?
Based on the fact that he's been very good since he came around.
Right.
Yeah. John Runyon. I mean, he's good, Sal. Just take my word for it.
Right.
He's
so
good.
So you're on record as saying the Giants' offensive line is good, right? It was good last year.
No, it was not good last year.
Did they
have Runyon last year?
No. How do you know that he's good?
I've seen him play.
Where?
Sal, how old is John Runyon? 27?
His father was
good. He's played 50.
Remember
his father?
How
many games has he played? I don't know.
Basically every game the last 4 years.
Where?
60?
Where?
Green Bay.
Yeah.
In the NFL.
Okay. So not with the Giants, right? So we don't know how he's going to fit with the New York Giants, right?
No, we do. Because he's a plug-and-play guard either side.
Oh, okay.
So you got Andrew Thomas, you got Runyon, and you got Schmitz.
All right. What could go wrong? Sounds like a recipe for success. Then, you know what? Roll it back with Daniel Jones. Offensive line's great. They're loaded. I mean, why'd they let Barkley go? Because this team really seems ready on offense and complete. They should have kept Saquon Barkley. Now you would have that loaded offensive line with Runyon, who apparently is better than his father somehow. But you have Runyon there and Schmitz and, Thomas and Evan Neal, right? He's going to be better this year.
Did you hear me mention Evan Neal's name? I didn't say his name once. I didn't say it for a reason.
Well, is he part of the offensive line or not?
But he stinks.
Is he a part of the offensive line?
He wouldn't be a part of my offensive line.
But
I'm just telling you the guys that are actually good.
Is he a part of their offensive line?
I don't know.
Right.
Maybe they're moving away from my. I can't answer that, Sal.
But if they have the offensive line in place and now they got the wide receiver, why not keep the running back and just run it back with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley?
Because you could probably get 75% of the production without Barkley with his replacement for about 40% of the cost.
I got to send you this tweet.
What are you sending me?
You know Annie Agar?
You familiar with her? Annie Agar.
She's like an NFL.
I don't know. From New York?
I don't know.
Sammy Hagar. No. I don't know Annie
Hagar.
She's
the girl that does all those, like, recap.
Like she changes jerseys and stuff. Yes, yeah. I do know.
Did you guys see her latest?
No. Is she in a Runyon jersey?
No,
what did
somebody,
she got?
Somebody DM me to.
Are you going
to
show? Let me see.
She's in a Penix jersey.
Read it and then watch the video. Read the headline.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Malik Nabers wide open looking for a pass from Daniel Jones.
And what is
and
it?
And then you've got a you've got a dog who's like backpedaling way, and the tennis ball goes 25 feet behind him. He's just waiting for the ball to come down. He's scampering backwards and then but you know what? He got the ball.
That is funny.
He got the ball.
Yeah, eventually.
That's good stuff. 877-337-6666. By the way, Brandon Jacobs will be in studio today. At 12:40, a little bit more than 1 hour from now, I can't wait to get. Now he's a straight shooter. I've had him on before. I love him, and you guys know he's a straight shooter. Like if he doesn't think that Jones can even function, he'll say it. We'll get into what he thinks the Giants should do today. The Giants in general.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal, let's crank out these phones. Obviously, Jets and Giants draft. Knicks. Now, I mean, we always knew it was going to be a series after the first tight ones that the Knicks were able to escape with the wins. But, you know, now the sweat beads start to build a little different. Ah, you're up 2-0. Ah, I could give away a game. All right, well, now they lost the game. Now it's 2-1. And now we sit there, and it's a different anxiety and urgency with game four. But I still love them to win the series, but now it's going to be complicated a bit for sure. Scotty's in Hamilton does not like what the Giants did. Scotty, BT and Sal, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? Sal, I'm in agreement with you 50-50 on that. First off, I love Nabers as the player, but they needed a quarterback. They have nobody. There's nobody in this quarterback room that's going to go ahead and get Nabers the ball. I don't trust Jones. I don't trust Locke. I don't trust DeVito.
Okay.
Yeah, that was one of the worst picks they could have done.
Well, Scott.
Ball back.
Scott, you need a quarterback. How about, let's get a little more specific. What did you want them to do?
I would have taken JJ. I'm sorry. I know you. Maybe because I'm a I'm a Michigan fan, so I'm a little bit biased. I'm going to admit that.
Gotcha.
But I wouldn't mind JJ because the kid played in a pro style.
He's a dink and dunker, and dude. He's a dink and dunker. Come on. I'm not saying McCarthy can't function in the right system, but that's not Daboll's system. That is Jim Harbaugh's system with multiple tight ends and an interesting run scheme where you roll them out a little bit, guys wide open. McCarthy's arm talent's average, dude. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Like, if you thought that the Giants were going to draft,
what the Giants have now, though.
Well, I understand. No, I get, but that doesn't mean that you can. But that doesn't mean that you compound it and make it worse. I'm not saying that Jones is the answer. Thanks for the call, and I do appreciate you pushing back on Nabers. That's fine, but I mean, this thought that JJ McCarthy was going to come to the Giants and sling 35 touchdowns and be a stud. You're out of your mind.
Well, we don't know.
He's a dime a dozen.
We don't know what's going to happen. And the Vikings made the exciting move in trading up and getting him. And you could disagree with it. You could agree with it. Whatever. I mean, that's fine. But I know that I would have been more excited today and last night had the Giants had the guts to either trade up for Drake May or drafted McCarthy or had even more guts and taken Penix. And you said you like Penix. You talk about Boomer liking Penix. Atlanta Falcons like Penix. I mean, there's a lot of thought that, you know, he could end up being the best quarterback taken. Who knows? You don't know. But
you don't know. So I think the Raiders may have made a move for him if they didn't snag him at nine. Right. I mean, Raiders might have gone with the tight end, but I think that they were in play. Denver got the guy that they wanted. I mean, it was a fun night.
Somebody would have traded up because people were with the Falcons and say, oh, well, why not trade down if Penix was... Because if you trade down, somebody's going to trade up and grab him. He was not going much beyond where Atlanta took him. So the Giants could have made... Now, look, they don't like Penix. That's fine. However, they better hope that they're right. Because not only am I criticizing now, if McCarthy or Penix turns out to be a stud quarterback and the Giants are still toiling here, messing around with Daniel Jones in the next couple seasons, it's going to be hell to pay. And that's direct assessment of Joe Shane and Brian Daly.
Well, that's unavoidable. Any miscalculations, you know, outside of the first year when you got to kind of get in the building and see what's what and see what's missing and just kind of piece it together, now it's 100% their grade. There's no doubt. It's their team. They've got rid of most of the players that were here before, outside of the few good ones, and that's it. See, all these player assessments, whether it's Bowers, whether it's Neighbor, whether it's McCarthy or Bo Nix or Penix, which Sal just said, we don't know. I admit that. We don't know. We think we know. We have strong feelings and passionate, but we don't know. What we do know, and this is why Giant fans shouldn't be overly alarmed, and even though you're not a big Giant fan, not that you hate it, not that you're rooting against them, but you should know this too. The fact that they aggressively tried to trade up to get Drake May tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, but did they?
But they weren't drunken sailors. You don't give away everything. Like, there's got
to
be a point where you're like,
well, you want
I like Drake May, but I can't give you three first-round picks.
I respect Mike Maccagnan more for going after Sam Darnold and trading up to go get their quarterback.
Yeah, but they went from six. Where'd they go from six to three? They didn't jump that much.
Obviously, it didn't work out.
Well, actually, it would have been the same thing, actually. It would have been six to three.
I know they went up to three.
I thought the Jets were at six. Anyway, keep going.
The point is that I respect the aggression to go out there and get your guy. Now, he ended up getting fired because of it. It didn't work out, and with other moves as well. But, hey, that's what it takes. And Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were cautious. They stood pat. They made a pick that they knew every Giant fan for them, or the majority. I shouldn't say every, because there are a lot of smart Giant fans out there that realize it's not the right pick. Almost every Giant fan out there, the majority of people were going to be excited about this one and ignore the real issue that we have not seen a quarterback with Shane and Daboll, their quarterback. They're still playing with Dave Gettleman's quarterback.
Who do you trust more, Maccagnan or Shane and Daboll, to actually look at quarterbacks and assess what's right and what's wrong?
Maccagnan was
a clown.
Yeah,
he was one of the worst ever.
Yeah, but you know what? He had guts.
So what? They got him on the street. He's got guts.
I respect that more.
Okay, I mean, I'm not saying I don't respect the boldness here, but you still have to get evaluated for whether or not it works.
Right. Well, the only way that the Giants look good here, they didn't trade up for Drake May, so they could have.
But they tried.
Right. No, but not enough. I mean, it's a state, like, you could have done it. He was available. You would have had to blow them away. So that means that they didn't think Drake May was worth it. So they better hope.
Correct.
They better hope Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and Penix do not turn out to be solid pros, which could happen.
Mm-hmm.
We don't
mm-hmm.
know.
See, but if you respect somebody, I know we keep going back to Maccagnan, who's inconsequential here, but I get your point. If you respect his boldness for going after Sam, even though it didn't work out, why wouldn't you have the same amount of respect for Shane and Daboll sticking to what they believe and the player that Drake May is and ultimately is not?
Because it was a passive approach.
No,
I respect the aggression. They didn't put their neck on the chopping block. Maccagnan did, just for that one example.
Yep.
Like, I don't want to make it about Maccagnan because we know he was awful, but I respect guys who put their neck on the table. The Giants sat back and said, let's placate the fan base. Let's make a somewhat safe pick here.
You don't think that they actually thought about the fan base when they made this pick, do you? I don't think that entered their equation one second.
I do think it was a factor.
Really?
I do think
that that matters sometimes. I think the Jets have done that before.
Might have been a minimal factor.
But
fans would have gone nuts if it were J.J. McCarthy. The Giants made what they deem as the safe pick.
I think the Giants now, forget about the placation of fans, which you try to do that, you're going to be on the street with Maccagnan. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more like they've been scouring film from last year. They're looking at their offense, which is S, and they're saying, this guy changes things.
Right.
Now, it's not the most conventional direct route to build the team. Generally, you want to get the quarterback. And generally, you got to get the left tackle. They got the left tackle. Like, I think, and he's amazing. I think I'm probably a lot more with you, almost entirely with you, if they didn't have a left tackle. If Flowers was still playing there, I'd be like, dude,
right, but
you
even
can't
so,
do this again.
Even so, Alt wasn't there. So then what? Then you'd agree to trade down?
Well, maybe they take Olu, the Jets. Right. I don't know what their board had. You know,
they
could
have traded down.
And they could have done that as well. Right. Oh, my God. I mean, boil with 9 sprays of cologne. I can see him just waltzing into some club.
I mean, come on.
Popping his head to this, right?
Oh,
on ecstasy?
Jeez.
Just kidding. Am I? All right, PT and Sal on the fan.
Probably not wrong, though. Is he, Pat?
Not much.
I've never done it.
Okay. You never tried it?
No.
Did gotcha. You?
No. No, I never did that. I didn't try that. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal here on the fan. Jets and Giants draft stuff.
You think Lugauer is ever?
I would imagine that he's probably had a little fun with that.
Like, if you had to guess all the people.
It's probably part of Tommy's DNA at this
point.
That's
what I'm saying. I would think Lugie.
The order of probability of having done ecstasy.
Yeah, like,
let me rule people out. I'm going to start by ruling people out. Tiki. Out. Evan, out. I know you haven't done it.
Right.
Sal, out. I wouldn't be surprised if Hoff tried it a couple times here, so I'm going to keep Hoff on the other list. Boyle said he is not out. Keith. Keith is interesting. I could see Keith having a little bit of fun, but he was a big-time athlete. I'm going to put him on the other one, too. I'm not sure about Keith.
I would say no.
No to Keith? Definitely no to Boomer. Did Gio ever dabble with that? I could see Gio having a little fun with that. Now, who did you live? When you and Greg lived together, it was you and Monzo?
I'm not going to give any intel
Gio?
On this one, yeah.
Well, then I'd have to say that Gio may have.
Sitting that one out. No.
All right.
But, like, Lugie to me.
C-Mac, I would say, yeah.
I would probably go that way as well. But okay. Lugie is like. He's like glow sticks. Like
he likes
that. He likes what's the music?
The lollipop. Suck it on
CDM.
Yeah. There you go. Right.
Suck it on the lollipop. Yeah, right. I think they say you get like this oral fixation when you do stuff like that.
He just seems like I don't know. Again, I don't know anything
jeans.
About it. Yeah. I'm not trying to stereotype.
No, I got you. He probably cleaned up too. If he did, probably did all right for himself.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. I would just say he would probably be the leader in the clubhouse.
What about Spike? See, I think Spike, our former boss,
I would say,
and current enemy. I would say no, too, but he looks like him. Now, if you're going just optically and visually, forget about that. You'd say that he's been doing heroin for 20 years.
Right.
All right, let's get back to you guys here. Spike's tweets are on my last nerve. He had a tweet last night before the game, and I almost subtweeted 0-2. And I said, you know what?
Just lay him.
I know, because I didn't think they were going to win last night.
What was the, he's now starting to feel it. I think Sixers fans now are on what was the one that got you?
I think it was about like how we whine and complain about the whistles. Like we used to be tough in the 90s. Something like that.
Said something also about not being able to criticize Brunson.
I didn't see that one.
He said something about like every other, you call him a superstar, but then when things go bad, you can't criticize him. He doesn't get the superstar treatment. That was something like that.
It's almost like his tweets are more about the Knicks and less about the Sixers.
I did subtweet him yesterday for something. You'll get a kick out of this.
Go ahead.
I didn't see it. He tweets, and like for Spike, it was just weird to see. He goes, Wheeler did a good job getting out of that inning. Wheeler.
I understand that.
So
For
him. I tweeted.
He suck it up to the Phillies fans to let him think that he knows baseball
is what
he's doing.
Him back? What? Too much baseball, Spike.
Yeah. I don't know. You guys talking too much baseball. That's right. It's New York. It's the fan. We can talk baseball. But obviously, day after the draft, and you can always talk football here. Yeah. Let's get back to you guys. Manny in Bloomfield. What's going on, Manny?
Yeah, what's up, BT? When I look at this draft as a Giants fan, I look at myself getting my ass whooped to the Eagles in Dallas every year. And you got Dallas with CeeDee Lamb. You got Philly with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. We need playmakers. Every Sunday, I sit in front of that TV, and I know I'm going to lose before the game even starts because I don't have any playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco went to the Super Bowl last year. Who was their starting quarterback? He didn't get drafted in the first round.
Nope.
You got Brandon Ayuk. You got Deebo Samuel. You got playmakers. I'm tired of losing to the Eagles and Dallas.
You know, Manny, finally. Now, that is a good representation of what Giant fans should be thinking. You do a little Giants. You incorporate the divisional foes and what they've done. Like, the other thing that we discount, thanks for the call, we just ignore it, and maybe we shouldn't anymore. Is it possible that, I don't know, they could draft somebody today and Brian Daboll could, I don't know, coach him up?
You're talking about quarterback?
Yeah. Like
to replace Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Why? I mean, you don't think that they could draft somebody or that he can't coach him up? Or you think that they're so locked into Jones? They're not locked into Jones. You even know that.
Well, I don't know
that. But they tried to trade up.
But tried and did is two different things. They drafted a weapon for Daniel Jones as opposed to drafting the replacement for Daniel Jones. I just don't understand the philosophy. Yeah, I'd love to see them take a quarterback, but even if they took a quarterback in the second, third round, whatever it may be,
yep,
he's going to be holding the clipboard. He's going to be third on the depth chart, potentially. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with DeVito at that particular point, but could potentially be fourth on the depth chart.
DeVito's going to do nothing. I mean, all respect, no, he's going to do nothing. Well, absolutely zero impact on the Giants.
So if they draft a quarterback, who's out?
Him.
DeVito.
DeVito's gone. Saying.
Okay, so at best he's going to be a third-string quarterback on this team.
Practice guy.
And he's not going to be playing anytime soon, which means it's about Daniel Jones again this year.
For a year, though.
Yeah.
For a year.
Yeah, I'm not buying
it. You just don't like wasting a year.
Well, yes, number one. Number two, I'm not buying that whatever quarterback they take outside of the first round is going to be a starter next year to replace Daniel Jones.
True, but if they would have taken McCarthy or Penix or whomever, there's no guarantee that that guy would have been good. It would have been a first-round ton of money. So, top 10 money. Listen, this is inexact. I trust the Giants. I do. And I think Neighbors is incredible. Bobby's in Belmar. Bob, what's going on?
Gentlemen, how are you doing this fine day?
What's up, Bob?
Hey, Bob.
So here's the situation. Sal, your football ignorance is really shining through here. Malik Neighbors is going to be an asset to the Giants in other ways than just a receiver.
Enlighten me, Bob, please.
He's going to be opening up the field.
Oh, yeah.
Not only for all the other wide receivers, but for the running game.
Yeah.
So here's the situation.
Oh, yeah, Bob, you're right.
Football brilliance. I'm hearing
football brilliance.
Who did he actually have that was scaring the defense from a wide receiver perspective previously?
Right.
Nobody.
Right. No, not Darren Waller or Jalen Hyatt last year. You're right. He had absolutely nobody. Right.
Jalen Hyatt's number two. We can all agree on that. He is not a number one wide receiver. He's gonna take the top off the defense, and that's it. But this wide receiver is going to demand the secondary focus on him, which is going to open the underneath route for all the other
Bob, you know what? You should send your resume. Send your resume to the Giants. They can use an offensive coach.
It's going to open up the middle of the field for Waller.
Yeah.
So you saying that it's a terrible pick is just ignorance.
Yeah, right. No, you're right. It's a great pick, Bob. You're right. It's a great pick. I'm serious. Send your resume into the Giants because you sound like you should be a play caller. Sound maybe Dable could use Bob. Oh, it's going to open up the defense.
Get the headsets on Bobby.
Now, that was football brilliance. I don't know. We need to really. Hey, Hoff, get Bob's number. Let's make him a regular guest during the football season because that was.
Is that a Carl Banks during the Giants season?
Well, we'll see. Right. See how fast it takes me to hang up on Bob. It wouldn't be that long, I guarantee you. Oh, that was. If I'm football ignorant, you're right, Bob. Thank you for educating me. That was football brilliance right there. Malik Neighbors going to draw the double team, open things up for everybody. Brilliant. Brilliant, Bob. I could never have thought of that myself. Absolute brilliance. One problem with that flawed idea, though. One problem with that. You actually need somebody who knows how to throw the football. In any scenario you paint with Malik Neighbors being an impact offensively, it includes having a quarterback who's competent to read the field, make the right decision, and throw the football to him. And Daniel Jones isn't that. So again, I ask, until you come to me with a real quarterback, then get lost with your plan and your BS about, what he's going to do and open up this and open up that. Same thing can be said about Odell Beckham Jr. How'd that work for the Giants? Giant fans should know better. Oh, no, it's not just Odell, though, BT. It's Odell and Evan Ingram. Oh, and wait till what Saquon Barkley's going to do. You know what? He's going to be a dual threat, and they're going to be focusing on Barkley, loading up the box, which is going to open up things downfield for Daniel Jones in the passing game. My ass. My ass. I saw it. They stink. They have stunk for years. A wide receiver is not going to fix it.
So what was your opinion when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts? When they had another quarterback in the house and they used a pretty high draft pick on Jalen Hurts?
I was confused
by that. So was I. I asked you. So I think everybody was more like, is it going to translate? They already have a quarterback who's had some really good moments. What are we doing here? I just think that
they've been ahead of the curve.
But maybe the Giants are actually trying to replicate what they do. Like, Sal, I'm going to give you this. If I own an expansion team, like there's team number 33, and it's my team, and I have nothing. I've got access to some C-level players from the other teams that they expose, but I got to really start drafting. I'm focusing on, of course, left tackle, of course, quarterback, of course, edge rusher, of course, corner with a C. Like, those are my fundamental starting points.
Agreed.
Now, the Giants have the left tackle. they've got edge rushers. They got three guys, including one monster in the middle in Lawrence, not to mention Burns with the trade and Kayvon, who I don't love, but I like. Right. So the Giant, they're set there. Corner they could have addressed, but they got to get a quarterback. We know that. But they also don't have a wide receiver. He's right about Jalen Hyatt. Like, it's just run down. It's a one-trick pony. Fling it up, try to beat him, a go route. That's all he
does. But the Giants picked him. No, so, you're not going to knock Jalen Hyatt. But
no, I'm not.
He was the weapon, and you could, right? He was the weapon that they brought in to help Daniel Jones out last year along with Waller. And how did Jalen Hyatt do in games that weren't started
by
Daniel
Jones? He did better
without
Jones. I understand that. But Waller was always hurt, and Daniel Jones did not play well at all, starting with the 40-zip whitewashing against Dallas, the first half against the Cardinals. We know what happened, all right? I'm not defending Jones' play last year. He was awful. What I'm saying is you get somebody like Malik Nabers, and you put him – if you're playing a team with a – with a weakish corner, like outside corners, you put them on the outside. If you're playing a team with a weak nickel or they just get, you put them in the slot because he does damage anywhere you put him. I know it seems like, what are you talking? But that matters. He's a matchup nightmare.
Right.
I love what they did.
He wasn't even
just
the first
unconventional.
Yeah, wasn't even the worst first wide receiver picked.
So does that mean now that because the Cardinals took Marvin Harrison Jr., who was slower, factually slower?
Well, your issue with the Jets pick is that he wasn't even the first lineman pick. So why doesn't that pertain to the wide receiver?
But I'm not basing my opinion on a team like the Jets who almost never get anything right. Why would you base yours on the Cardinals who almost never get anything right?
Suddenly
the Cardinals are the gold standard of draft analysis.
But it's not just the Cardinals. The consensus.
But you don't know. But you don't know if the Giants or somebody else had number four. You don't know if the Giants preferred Marvin Harris. They didn't. Know that.
Nobody does. But I do know he was the second lineman. He was the second wide receiver taken. Not even the best wide receiver in the draft, consensus wise. Now maybe he turns out to be that way, but he wasn't.
But that means nothing to me. And I don't think that deep down that means anything to you, tangibly.
No, ultimately it doesn't. But we're making it like he's some kind of he was the second guy taken.
No. But I'm giving you an absolute difference. Like I get it, and it's
a team that needed wide receivers that has a guy that I trust more than anybody. Picking in the top four, maybe even the top 10, maybe even the entire draft with Harbaugh, they took a lineman.
I understand. But I tell you, because they did that because they have Greg Roman and they want to run the ball, and that's what he did at Michigan. Right, what he did at Stanford. Right, that's what he did at San Francisco. That's what he did at the University of San Diego. They run. Tight ends, they run.
And it works. So why wouldn't the Giants have that philosophy?
Because Jim Harbaugh's not their coach, and Brian Daboll sees the game differently. Doesn't mean it's wrong.
Well,
listen.
Well, right, but I think it's wrong.
No, I got
would
you.
Rather do it the way Harbaugh's doing it.
I hear you.
Right.
No, if you told me Harbaugh was coaching the Giants over Dable, and I have a pick, I'm going to say Harbaugh.
I just agree with that way to build a team first. Listen, I think that's the biggest issue.
I got you. The only thing I'm saying about the receivers, all right, and we will find out eventually, but Marvin Harrison's a beast. He's a beast, but he's not the burner that Nabers is. And it depends what you prefer.
So we agree on
Nabers is discernibly faster. It is out there. It's not even close. He's the fastest. He's unstoppable.
Right.
He's a blur. And he's got sick hands and sick body control. Mm-hmm. Is more bigger, more stout, but he's not going in the slot and running through nickels and linebacker. He's going to destroy him. Nabers is going to. Marvin Harrison's really good. I don't think, I could be wrong, that opposing defensive coordinators in the NFL will look at him and say, all right, in 3 days we're playing this guy. I can't sleep because I don't know how to stop him. They know where Marvin's going to be. It's going to be on the outside.
Right.
When you play the Giants and it's Malik Nabers' time, you have no idea where he's going to be, which means the other 10 guys on the field benefit. That's all I'm saying. And that's what the last caller was saying, by the way.
Right, okay.
Who made some good points.
Right. No, you talking about Bob?
Yeah.
No, I thought it was idiotic. And here's why. I'm going to shut you both down right now. Who's the best wide receiver in the NFL?
First of all, it's subjective.
Well, who do you think? Who do we think is the best wide receiver in the NFL?
You asked me this last hour.
Right.
My answer hasn't changed.
Right.
It's Justin Jefferson for me.
And how do you think Justin Jefferson's season is going to be this year in comparison to years past?
I think Justin Jefferson's seasons are always amazing, no matter who's throwing it. Now, if he didn't hurt his hamstring last year, he would have gone for 1,600 yards like he always does.
Well, he was great, right? You think he's going to have the same numbers with Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy throwing him the football, or no?
That's going to be close. Wait, he's going to go for 912 yards?
I don't think it's going to be better or as good
as it was. I'm not saying it's going to be better. You think there's a drop-off where he goes from whatever it was to like 909?
And do you know why?
I'm saying, do you think it's going to drop that much?
Because they don't have a quarterback.
I get that. But first of all, McCarthy's not playing.
All right. So Sam Darnold,
if he does, then they made the worst pick in the history of the NFL.
Sam Darnold is. Yes, and you think that Sam Darnold is going to give Justin Jefferson put up the same numbers that Kirk Cousins did?
No, no, I'm not saying that.
Right.
I'm saying that it's going to be slightly adjusted based on Darnold not being Kirk Cousins, clearly.
Which means it's then
not
about...
But not to the point that you think.
It's not about the wide receiver then. Because Justin Jefferson is consensus, whether... You're right, it's arguable. Like, we could all disagree on it, subjective to whoever. But I think most people would agree Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in the NFL. But without the quarterback throwing him the football, it negates what he can do. So I don't care about the matchups that could be, you know, with Malik Nabers, all the matchups for the defense. Yeah, that's great, but that happens.
Well,
obviously, it's going to happen with certain players. I mean, that's just part of the it's part of the league. Yeah, of course. Matchup, you create matchup nightmares, sure. You need somebody to throw him the football.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.